let's go back, looking at the life of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 through 15. Then Samuel, that's God's prophet, said to the people, "Come, let us all go to Gilgal to renew the kingdom." So they all went to Gilgal, and in a solemn ceremony before the Lord, they made Saul king. Then they offered peace offerings to the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites were filled with joy. All right? The prophet Samuel had told the people and reminded them that God was their king. But because they had requested a king, because of fear, and I'm going to get into that in just a moment, they wanted a king just like all the other nations around them. Why would you want to be like everybody else around you? Why? When you have that special relationship, it can only be because you have forgotten what that relationship really is. People forgot, the Israelite people forgot what their relationship to God was. They even forgot the written Pentateuch, the books of the law. They lost them. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they had no idea except what came down as legend. And too many of them, I mean, we see leaders that were called judges who didn't have a clue what the book of the law said, and they did absolutely stupid things thinking they were honoring God, even to the sacrifice of their own children. How could the people of God ever get there? But we think and we look at that and we say how crazy that is. And yet if we look at our own nation, founded on godly principles, look at where we are now. Is it any different? Can't we also say we must have, simply forgotten God? That seems to be the case. Now, to fear and worship the Lord and listen to his voice, and if you do not rebel against the Lord's commands, then both you and your king will show that you recognize the Lord as your God. But if you rebel against the Lord's commands and refuse to listen to him, then his hand will be as heavy upon you as it was upon your ancestors. They received what they wanted. But this last warning here by Samuel that I just read, again it's saying, do not rebel against the Lord's commands. And he's not just talking to the king, he's talking to all the people of Israel. But he includes the king. And they have to think back to the captivity when they were in Egypt. They have to think about when they really lost all real connection with God because they were doing everything in their own sight. They were not doing what God had told them. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 12, looking at some of what led to this choice to have a king. 1 Samuel 12, verse 12, "But when you were afraid of Nahash, the king of Ammon, you came to me and said that you wanted a king to reign over you, even though the Lord your God was already king." These, again, are the words of the prophet Samuel. Here we see why. This is the main reason. They were afraid of being overrun by the kings that were around them. Now, where were they? They were in the promised land. The land God had given to them. The land God had promised to them. But they had never fulfilled the command of the Lord to fully take over the land. And it's come back to bite them. And in fact, they had lost, as I mentioned, that connection with God through the whole time of the judges. They were really doing foolish things. They didn't have a solitary leader like they had in Joshua who kept things straight. They had various and sundry tribal leaders, and they really lost their connection with God. Let's look at the New Testament. This is fear. This is fear that caused them to cry out for an earthly king. Now, Scripture says there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And then this wonderful verse, We love because he first loved us. This is just as true in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. Did God love the people? Absolutely, without question. But instead of fearing God, they lost that fear of the awesome Almighty. And that's the fear that we should have. It's an awesome God. It's a fear of how majestic, how awesome, how mighty God is. And they started to just look at the world around them. They wanted to copy the world around them. And they were fearful of the world around them. If they had loved God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, which is in the Old Testament, it's repeated by Christ in the New Testament. If they had loved God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, well, he first loved them. He would have kept things right. They would have obeyed him, and they would have done what was right. Who should we fear? Revelation says it very clearly. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come." And the judgment of God is to be feared. There is no question about that. It'll be a time that like this earth has never seen. So the real fear should only be toward God. But if we are children of God, we don't have anything to fear, not from an earthly perspective. The only fear we should have is that we will continue to be obedient in God's eyes and continue to be a servant of him and keep our eyes on him instead of allowing our eyes to wander and be succumbed by the fear that the world wants to impose on us. Well, have you ever been in a situation where perceived practicality outweighed your obedience to God? 1 Samuel 15, verses 17 through 18, and verse 24. And Samuel told him, Samuel is talking to King Saul, "Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel?" Look at that statement. Do you know when Saul was first called to be king? He was off hiding. He was fearful. And they went and pulled him out and they said, "Oh, look at this man. There's no other man in Israel like him. He was big. He was the warrior leader that they thought that they wanted." And so they brought him out, but he was fearful. Here again now, much later, Samuel says, "Although you may think little of yourself," Saul's relationship is not real strong with the Lord. And he is so dependent upon what other people think about him. That's where he derives his identity. The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, "Go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead." And God meant it. The Israel was leaving Egypt. The Amalekites attacked them from the rear so they could kill and slaughter the older people, the children, and those that were infirmed. What had happened? Saul did go and attack the Amalekites, but Saul did not do everything God said. Everything that belonged to the Amalekites was to be wiped out. That included all plunder, everything. It included the king of the Amalekites as well. But Saul didn't do that. Saul brought back the king. Saul brought back much plunder. And then he said to Samuel said, "What is that I'm hearing?" "Oh, those are just all the animals that the men wanted to bring back to sacrifice to God." "Oh, really? You were to destroy it all. Why didn't you do that?" And the reason is there. It's verse 24. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, "Yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command." Why? For I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. Saul was too fearful of all the people of Israel. A king is to set the example, not to follow. A king is to set the example and lead the people as to the way that they should go. But Saul was so concerned about the opinion of the people that he succumbed over and over again to the desires of the people. And the further he got away from God, and God is going to remove his spirit from Saul. And then it's really bad because he has times of insanity and he is just way out there. But it all started because Saul would not be obedient in obeying the Lord's command. And it's pretty tough when you have a prophet of God standing in front of you, revealing verbally the absolute command of God, and you don't follow it. There's no excuse. None. And I know God put this in his word so we could see. We could see the results of disobedience. Well, fear was Saul's real problem. His faith in God did not insulate him from nor overcome the peer pressure he felt from the Israeli people. I think what we see in our nation today is a great, great deal of peer pressure. And we see many because they have lost their foundational footing in the teachings of the Lord God Almighty, which were foundational to the establishment of our nation. Because they have turned their back on that, we once again are doing whatever is right in our own eyes. With Samuel as Israel's prophet and Saul as their anointed king, was there anything to fear? From an earthly standpoint, absolutely not. God was their protector, period. They had nothing to fear as long as they obeyed God. But their king didn't do that. Their king listened to the people who did not have the Holy Spirit as Saul did. And they did not have the prophet of God who also had the Holy Spirit specifically telling Saul what the commands of God were. Instead, he listened to his own people. And he tried to placate the people. And he really harmed Israel. This is now Samuel responding to Saul after Saul has admitted his sin. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat of rams. How does that apply to us? Do you really want to please God? I pray that we all do. Now, God gave us, because no one can keep the law, God gave us his son who paid that price, but did not change the fact that we are to be obedient to God, and he gave us the power through the Holy Spirit to be obedient. And let me point out something here. If you just feel like you can't be obedient because of the sin nature, if you are not yet filled to the brim, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, so all that does happen in your life is obedience, if we can't obey, and I'm telling you, you can with the Spirit of God. Can you submit? Submission is better than offering the fat of rams. God is saying obedience is better than any type of sacrifice. Anything you can do, can you be good enough by doing things to receive your salvation? Absolutely not. It is a free gift provided by God through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. All we can offer up is a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of obedience, a sacrifice of submission. The prayers of the saints being mixed with the incense from the altar of God. You know, prayer is a lot of things, but one of the things that it most definitely is an admission of need from God. It is an act of submission before Almighty God. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. This is so relevant to humanity and to what we see going around us all over the place today. Have you seen any rebellion going on around you today in our culture? So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Samuel went on to tell Saul he would have let his reign go for generations and generations had he just been obedient. But because he rejected the command of the Lord, he was no longer going to be accepted as the king of Israel. Now, the other side, have you ever just taken it on faith? 1 Samuel 16:12 through 13, and the Lord said, "This is the one." He is now in David's household. Actually, he's in David's father's household. "Anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Does that sound familiar? That happened to Saul as well. "And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah." Now, jump ahead. Okay. Verse 45 of chapter 16. You have a young David, and most people don't think he was 12 or 13. Okay, that's what we might have thought when we were in Sunday school. No, he was probably a youth between 18 to 22 years of age. And he is now facing down a giant that all the rest of Israel cowered before, including King Saul, who wasn't out on the fields leading his troop. He was back in a tent somewhere way behind enemy lines, just planning. And David went and told Saul, "Look, I'll take this guy out." And Saul gave him his armor, and it was way too big. Remember, Saul was a great big guy. Dave was not a great big guy. He was an average-sized person who had a great faith in God. And he says, "I can't wear this stuff. I'm not used to it." So he took it off, picked 5 stones out of a river, and Goliath was offended because they were sending this little flea, as he called him, to come and take out and fight for the Lord. David let him know, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." Them's fighting words. He only needed 1 stone. He had 5. He used the Spirit of God in the manner in which God wanted it to be used. For us, John chapter 12, verse 25. "Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity." What a great illustration from the Old Testament of this verse. David cared more for the glory of the Lord than he cared for his own life. He had God on his side, and God was going to do the fight. Now look at this also, John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. "Many people," speaking of the time of Jesus now, "believed in him," Jesus, "however, including some of the Jewish leaders. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. What does that sound like again? It's peer pressure. It's groupthink. People don't think for themselves. People don't read the Word of God and, with the help of the Spirit, discern what the correct thing to do is. Instead, it's, I want to go along with the crowd. I want to be like everybody else because I want to be accepted by everybody else. These leaders, Jewish leaders, they wanted to still be accepted in the halls of power. But they were afraid if they admitted that they believed in Jesus' message, they would be thrown out of that hall of power. They didn't want to be there. They didn't want to be in that situation. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Above all else. And live righteously. Obey what the Word of God is telling you to do. Obey His Holy Spirit. And He will give you everything you need. Not everything you want, but everything you need. Peer pressure, groupthink, crowd mentality, it won't cut it with God.